Case number 21-1802, Fairfax against the Army. Right, Mr. Mihalik, are you ready?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Matt Mihalik, and Mr. Meyer and I represent Petitioner Duane Fairfax. At this time, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. And I just would note that I'm not able to see the time, the camera, or the clock on the camera here, but I'll do the best I can to keep track of the time on my end. Petitioner Fairfax respectfully requests that this honorable court reverse the initial decision and remand the instant action for further processing. The administrative judge erred in finding the petitioner's Fairfax's reclama regarding his senior rating potential evaluation, or SERPE, was not a disclosure protected by the Whistleblower Protection Act, erred by finding that there was no nexus between petitioner's protected disclosures and the July 2018 management-directed reassignment, and, as Mr. Meyer will explain, by misapplying the CAR factors. And again, that Mr. Meyer will explain that in further detail. That's how we're going to split this up. First 2 points that were raised in our appeal. First, the requirement is protected disclosure.
Counselor, this is Judge Reyna. Let me ask you a preliminary question before we get into the other issue that you just mentioned. And I'm having a very difficult time understanding why there's a belief that what we have before us is a protected disclosure. And a protected disclosure, as you know, involves a disclosure of information that involves violation of law, rule or regulation, gross management, gross waste of funds, and abuse of authority or substantial specific danger to public safety or health. I don't see any of those involved in the claim for protected disclosure. And because of that, I'm dubious whether the Whistleblower Act even applies here. Can you respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. And I just want to make sure that over the telephone I understood your question correctly, which is whether or not the 2018 memorandum, which has been known in the record as a reclama, was a protected disclosure under the Whistleblower Protection Act, and whether it alleged a violation of law, rule, or regulation. Is that right?
Yeah, and you're going to have to show that Mr. Fairfax had a reasonable belief that he was making a disclosure.
I would direct the court's attention to the joint appendix at page 94 and 95. This sets out the agency's policy regarding SERPE, and these are not discretionary policies. The employee must have been in the position for a minimum of 120 days. And at hearing, agency officials testified that he had not been in position that long. And their actions at the time reflected the fact that the SERPE was improperly issued. It wasn't issued according to the relevant regulations and rules.
But that,
he also
that,
alleged other...
That document actually favored Mr. Fairfax, didn't it?
The document...
I mean, it was a glowing report. He passed with flying colors.
Outside of the context of Mr. Fairfax's employment, that report could appear to have been fully positive, yes. However, Mr. Fairfax, the report was generated by an official who Mr. Fairfax had raised, or had identified, I should say, in his protected disclosures to the IG. And it was ultimately something that he knew was going to be used to, and as the administrative judge held, this was a personnel action that affected his promotion potential, and a major issue here was the question of, we can talk about damning with faint praise, or we can discuss the control that first of all, Mr. Fairfax sought to have over his career development.
Counsel, this is Judge Reyna.
The direction that the SERPE was pushing him in. I'm sorry.
Yes. None of the factors that you cite actually happened. He was not held back from promotion. In fact, he was promoted. He was his salary was maintained. He seems to have moved through this process rather well compared to other claimants we have in whistleblower acts. Was your client aware what the Sherpa report said before it was released?
Was my client aware of what the Sherpa said before it was released?
Correct.
Okay. Your Honor, I believe the answer to that question is at Appendix 113 and 14. I believe he had received it at the time that he issued his memorandum disputing it. And it's not a question, Your Honor, and I would add that, you know, it's not a question of whether or not
How can you say that Mr. Fairfax had a reasonable belief that he was making a protected disclosure when, in fact, he was aware of the content of the report before it was released, and that content of that report highly favored him?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, as a matter of law, I think that a protected disclosure could be of something that was done that was favorable to an individual as a matter of law. I don't see any reason why a report that, if it was generated in a manner inconsistent with law, rule, or regulation, even if it was favorable to an individual, they could still report it as having been inappropriately issued. That doesn't come up at the juncture of whether it was a protected disclosure. That's a question of that's a question of whether the action was adverse. That's a separate part of the case.
What is the remedy that you are seeking?
We're seeking to have this. We're asking to have this remanded for further processing below.
Processing for what purpose?
Your Honor, to reevaluate. Well, Mr. Meyer will discuss as with regards to the car factors. We're seeking a remand on that, on all of the personnel actions here. With regards to the first two items in our appeal, we're first looking to have this remanded with a finding that his 2018 reclama memorandum was a protected disclosure, as well as holding that either as a result of the first or independently that there was, in fact, a causal connection between the 2018 management-directed reassignment and Fairfax's protected activity.
And therefore, what remedy is he seeking? A restoration to the prior context in which he was working?
As far as his entire complaint goes, you know, we're looking to have this, you know, remanded. Mr. Fairfax is looking to have some of these items corrected as far as his personnel record goes. And those are the, you know, the relief that we've identified below is the relief that he's continuing to seek.
What is that? I don't understand what you're asking for. Are you asking him to be moved from his current position back to an old position? Are you just asking for some kind of compensatory damages under the Whistleblower Protection Act? It's not clear to me. You point out all these violations, alleged violations, and alleged retaliatory actions. But usually when you do that, you say, if there hadn't been whistleblower retaliation, this person wouldn't have been fired, or this person would have gotten a promotion. But he hasn't been fired, at least on this record, and he got the promotions he wanted. What order from the board are you going to ask for the board to order the agency to do if you prevail?
Understood, Your Honor. I think that we have identified compensatory damages. I think we've also identified certain actions to be taken to correct his record. I think that there are additionally, although I'm not sure of all of the actions that have taken place subsequent to the actions of this appeal, but other actions as far as the reassignment and various positions that he was placed in.
All right. Let's hear from Mr. Meyer. Perhaps he can give us a more direct answer to these questions.
Yeah.
Can the court hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Very good line, Your Honor. As far as the remedy sought at the lower level before the appeal of the board, Mr. Fairfax wants to be back where he was prior to making his disclosure. What changed was the duties that he assigned to, and changed a job to a job that was a different type of activity in a different field, not in the area of cyber defense, which frankly has become quite competitive and quite sought after assignments within the federal government. And so that change, in addition to the correction of the record needs to be corrected because that makes him less competitive going forward. So you know, we did not reach the bifurcated damages phase at the board because of the way Judge Harrell decided the opinion, but we have advanced the theory on damages that had he not been reassigned into a different type of activity, he would have been more competitive in the field in which he had developed expertise. And if that helps clarify the matter, I can also give my presentation on the car test.
Okay, proceed with what you want to tell us.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor, may it please the Honorable Court, I'm Dan Meyer, co-counsel of Mr. Fairfax, with Mr. McCulloch, and admitted to this court and to the Bar of the District of Columbia. The congressionally established Title V rubric for analyzing reprisal against federal whistleblowers consists of a four-part test. The fourth element splits into a three-prong analysis under the ruling Carr and its progeny. The four-part test, first three elements burden our client, Mr. Fairfax. The fourth element splits into Carr's three prongs, and that burdens the Department of the Army in this proceeding. Of importance before the court is a matter of law, namely whether the judicial administration below of the Carr analysis, whether that process properly left the Title V statutory and case law application means that the four-part test correctly allocates elements between the whistleblower and the alleged reprisal. That allocation is designed to assign the production of evidence to the party best suited with access to the data. It is done for the efficiency of the judicial process. A whistleblower like Mr. Fairfax, observing corruption, can read Title V, order his affairs accordingly, and then preserve evidence and make the presentation before the board, which is then well guided by the legislative standard. A whistleblower who does their homework is studied up, will find protection. There is predictability in these first three elements of Title V, that four-part test. What does not exist under the fourth element is that predictability, and that is the part of the rubric that orders the agency's burden. In the fourth element enabled by Carr, the net effect of the board's jurisprudence is often wrongly described as giving the agency an out. Show the correctness of the action, make the decision at a level in which motive may not be actual or impaired, treat like or similar employees in the same manner, and that agency will find its actions vindicated despite the presence of a prima facie case. That's the law. Be a good and competent manager, and you, the alleged responsible management official, will have the evidence to clear a sullied name when the time comes for agency counsel to defend. But when management does not execute its responsibility accordingly, there's a danger that some jurists, with intent or by mere reflex, will adjust the Carr analysis and provide a form of what I would deem unapproved local administrative equity for the agency. Judicial decision-making under Carr, therefore, and wrongfully, becomes a gap filler for missing agency evidence. That's why this is in front of the Honorable Court. In the decision below, the Carr three-factor test was misapplied in this manner. The relevant factors were analyzed and considered, such as the existence of malice or animus on the part of the decision makers. One does not need malice or animus to simply have motive. The two are a different concept. They might be related in some sort of pedigree back to Title VII, but really motive is different. Judge Harrell did not weigh the lack of comparative employees appropriately. the agency has no impediment in the production of adequate comparative data. It owns all the data, and the Department of Army is large enough to produce a simple data set of 40 to 50 comparators, which they did not do. And so you can argue the merits of the data set, its breadth and its characteristics, but the agency must produce the evidence for that argument to take place. And finally, Judge Harrell, am I done?
Well, finish your sentence.
Okay. And finally, Judge Harrell allocated some evidence to the car factor, holding that it favored the agency when it should have been allocated to car factor 3 when it would have favored Mr. Fairbanks.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Meyer? Any questions? All right. Thank you. We'll hear from the government. Mr. Howe, when you're ready.
May it please the court. Stephen Huff for the Department of the Army. Mr. Fairfax argues that he was reassigned and improperly given a senior rater potential evaluation in retaliation for allegedly protected activity. The Merit Systems Detection Board held that the Army demonstrated by clear and convincing evidence that it would have taken the same personnel actions even absent Mr. Fairfax's allegedly protected activity. Specifically, the first CAR factor, the strength of the agency's evidence. The MSOB found that that supported the Army for each of the four challenge actions. Again, the second CAR factor, the existence and strength of motive to retaliate. Again, the MSOB found that supported the Army for each and every four of the challenge actions. For the third CAR factor, evidence that the agency takes similar actions against similarly situated employees, the MSOB found that that was neutral for each of the four challenge actions. That decision is supported by substantial evidence and should be affirmed.
You heard my question about whether we're actually dealing with a disclosure of protected information under the Whistleblower Protection Act, right?
I did, Your Honor.
What's your position on that?
We are not, Your Honor. It is not a protected disclosure. The MSPB found it set merely a pro forma list of things that it did not rise to the level of a protected disclosure, and I believe Your Honor's analysis was correct. It does not rise to protected disclosure. But even if it did...
I'm surprised you didn't start with that argument because that disposes of the entire case.
Respectfully, Your Honor, that would only dispose of the July 2018 aspect of it. There is the protected activity, alleged protected activity of the IG report. That relates to the temporary transfer, the first permanent transfer, and the senior rater potential evaluation. The alleged protected disclosure in the reclama came after in time, and therefore only related to the final July 2018 transfer.
With respect to the damages that are being talked about here, is it your view that Mr. Fairfax was demoted or received lesser compensation as a result of the activity, the protected activity?
He was neither demoted nor did he receive less compensation. In fact, his duty station did not even change. In the last transfer, he actually went to a better organization in that before he was reporting to an 05 level lieutenant colonel, and then in the new position, we're reporting to a more senior 06 level colonel. On top of that, Your Honor, with regard to the senior rater potential evaluation, it's important to point out that after Mr. Fairfax complained, within 1 month or so, despite the presence of the Christmas holidays, that was withdrawn from his file. In fact, it's not in the joint appendix. There's only other references to it because it's been destroyed entirely.
Didn't that Sherpy, the request to fill out the Sherpy report, didn't that go out to more people other than just Mr. Fairfax?
That is absolutely correct, Your Honor. That was at least component-wide decision. It went to everybody at the GS-15 level or equivalent.
He's not the only one that received it.
Absolutely correct, and that's true for the transfer as well with July 2018. He was moved because of a realignment of certain divisions with the Army, trying to separate the technical management and cybersecurity functions. He was not the only employee affected by that reorganization. In no way was he singled out.
What's your response to the questions we had to Mr. Fairfax about the relief that's sought?
Your Honor, the first part of his relief, to have his personnel file expunged, that's already happened. That issue is moot. We argued that in our brief. He did not address that in his reply brief whatsoever. That resolves that aspect of it. As to the rest, I agree with the court's suggestion. It's hard to see what possible damage Mr. Fairfax suffered. He was not sent to a different location. He was not demoted. He did not receive a loss of pay. And I understand that, although it's outside the record, as of 2019, he's now employed not by the Army, but by the Marine Corps. For those reasons, we respectfully request that the court affirm the judgment of the Merit Systems Protection Board. Thank you.
Anything else? Good. Thank you, counsel. Okay, Mr. Mihalik, you have a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I'd like to just first note that the board must consider all relevant factors and evidence, must not exclude or ignore countervailing evidence by only looking at the evidence supporting the agency's position. I'm not sure what that beeping meant. We would refer the court's attention to Allery v. Department of Army 122 MSPR 600, special page 608. The failure to produce any evidence at all under one or more prompts of the CLAR analysis ought not be used by the agency to locally reformulate the four-part test. The board did not review the CLAR factors in discrete elements, each to be proven by clear and convincing evidence, but weighed them together to determine whether the evidence is clear and convincing as a whole. If one allows the agency not to produce evidence, the rules in Allery and Rumsey, the Department of Justice 120 MSPR 259, vitiate the fourth element of the four-part test, collapsing the analysis to a lighter burden of proof than that required by Congress. In doing so, one may knowingly or unknowingly reverse engineer a decision toward a different end than a CLAR analysis would permit. We know that once a whistleblower shows protected disclosures contributed to an action, the agency bears the burden of showing it would have acted the same, absent any whistleblowing. But where the board finds an absence of relevant comparator evidence due to the agency's intentional or unintentional failure in the production of evidence, the third CLAR factor can't favor the government. Fowler v. Environmental Protection Agency, 908 F. 3rd, 1291, 1299. The board can't simply guess what might have happened absent whistleblowing. We direct the record to our brief for the arguments as far as four instances where Judge Harrell misapplied CLAR and its progeny to produce a decision against our client. And we respectfully reiterate our request that this honorable court reverse the initial decision, remand the instant action for further adjudication. I'm not sure how much more time I actually have. I don't see the timer and I've lost track. There we go. I guess that's how much time I
have
left. Thank you.
But let me ask you one last question, because it looks as if we accept everything that has been put forward on behalf of Mr. Fairfax, that the relief is to put him back in the job he had before all of this transpired. And I gather that that is not a relief that you're requesting. Is that right?
I'd leave that question to Mr. Meyer, please. Oh, he's dropped off the line. Okay. Well, Your Honor, I believe the relief that we're requesting here is that identified by Mr. Meyer as far as, you know, below. We didn't reach the question of relief and whether or not relief was available at the prior stage. Our client is seeking relief to restore him as far as the actions of the agency did take him off track of his own expertise and into a different track, and in so doing had a negative effect on his performance.
All right. Any more questions for counsel? Good. Thank you. Thanks to all three counsel. The case is under submission. And that concludes this panel's arguments for this session.